Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
So it is day 3 of Legends Week. So far this week, we've had David Hasselhoff.
Beware of Tiny Templar.
Yesterday, it was Snoop Dogg. The video is now online for you to watch of me and Snoop Dogg on the Radio 1 website. We had Lady Gaga perform at our festival at the big weekend.
Did she show up in an egg?
No, a coffin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Was she dead?
And today on the show, two legends. Not one, but two. Firstly, legends of X Factor. A bit less legendary than Jedward. They didn't win. They came second in the competition. Who won that year?
I almost said it. Am I allowed to say it or not?
What, well, in case people haven't watched it?
Well, no! You haven't told me. You haven't told me.
A plot spoiler
well,
for
you
it.
You haven't told me who the guest is, so how do I know who won that year?
JLS! JLS. Who won that year?
I don't know. Better than JLS. Whoever they were. Who were they? Was it a group?
It wasn't Leona Lewis.
Hang on. That was the Ray Quinn one. Hang on.
Because Leona Lewis, yes, and Ray Quinn came second. And you know that was a very close vote. It could have gone Ray Quinn's way. But Leona just got it in the bag at
Alexandra
the end
there. Alexandra Burke.
Oh, of course. Forgot about her. Yeah. I bet Ray Quinn must look at pictures of Leona and see her at the opening of the Radio 1 Big Hackney Weekend and think, that could have been me.
Is he still Doody?
No, he...
Off Greece? Is he Danny now off Greece?
He got the Danny part in the end, actually. Yeah. Do you remember when he was late for an interview once? And he was so late that by the time we got hold of him, we just told him to go back home and not bother.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Actually, Ray, don't worry about it. It's all fine. Anyway, X Factor Legendary Losers, JLS, coming up after 4:30. Simply second best.
JLS.
And then after 5...
We should have worked on this beforehand, because that was just embarrassing.
After 5, the comedian Jason Byrne. Now, he is a legend.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Now, if you weren't listening after 6 last night, or you haven't downloaded the podcast, what are you doing? My mate Chris was here, and he was trying to write some chicklit. This all started after he said yes to everything again, and he met two random girls in the street. They asked him the question, do you want to go shopping with us? He said yes, because he has to, because he's saying yes to everything, and went to a bookshop, and they were looking in the chicklit section, which is, you know, books for girls, a bit of romantic fiction. Then Chris said that he thought it looked quite easy to write this, so he had a little stab at it yesterday, and this was after 6 last night. Now, when we played it the first time, when he read it out, a lot of people said that they thought it sounded a little bit like Mike Skinner off of the streets. So what we did is, with Chris's chicklit, which he wrote in about, how long, 10 minutes?
Oh,
15 minutes? Not even that.
Yeah.
We have put it to the music of the streets, just so you can hear what it sounds like. A lot of people are saying it does sound like Mike Skinner. Listen and see what you think.
He looked at her longingly, his eyes on the prize. More fillet o' fish than chicken nuggets. Her body bronzed like a teak mahogany bench. Her tight red dress clinged like a leech to the neck. She looked once over, then twice, with hungry eyes. One look and he was hypnotised. A demon under a headmaster's spell. She was a demon headmistress with massive lug nuts. He couldn't wait. 3-second rule. He moved closer. She was a fox. More hot than dog. More steak than sandwich. He had to take a bite.
Hold it down, boys. Your hair's getting blurred. I know you.
See what I mean?
Thinking of her quite all means.
Really does sound like it. This girl, but just don't mug yourself. That's all. Don't mug yourself. There's my mate Chris doing some romantic fiction, some chicklit to the streets.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts.
I was sat in a cafe outside today because it's nice weather in that London. with my new sunglasses on. You know how I'm a bit obsessed with sunglasses? Mm. You know, like girls are with shoes? I'm about the sunglasses.
Have you got little round ones now? Because they're like really cool, aren't they? Like Fern wears.
No, my face is too fat for that. You can't put round sunglasses on a moon face. It just doesn't work. So anyway, I'm sat in a cafe outside and there's a bloke, I reckon probably late 40s, maybe early 50s, at the table next to me, and a magpie flew and landed right next to his table, and he actually did a salute and said out loud, "Good morning, Mr. Magpie." Now, is that normal? I've never heard of that before.
You've never heard someone talk to a magpie?
No. Well, I've never seen someone salute one, but the one that doesn't speak says that's quite common.
To salute? I've never seen anyone salute one. I've heard people say, "Good morning, Mr. How's your wife?"
Right, okay, now you haven't, have you?
Yeah.
Right, so you haven't seen anyone or heard of anyone salute a magpie,
no.
But you've heard of someone talk to one before saying, yeah. "Good morning, Mr. Magpie, how's your wife?"
Yeah.
What are you on about?
Isn't it about one's unlucky, but if you ask them how his other half is, then that assumes that there's another one around, so it's not unlucky.
And do you do this?
Maybe in my head, but not out loud.
Okay, right.
Because there was one time that I didn't do it, and then...
What happened? Can't say no.
Just...
Bad things.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, I didn't even know the magpie had kids. Apparently, sometimes you have to go, "Hello, Mr. Magpie, how's the wife and kids?" Well, this is all new to me. I have learnt this today. I will now, in future, always salute one, and I will always say, "Good morning. Is it Mr. Magpie, how's your wife, and how's your kids?" Wow. Thanks for all your texts on that. More interestingly, I want to know what happened to you after you didn't salute a magpie once. Can we go into this?
Mm.
What happened?
Mm.
You're really cagey about it. Did you have an annus horribilis?
Yeah.
That year?
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to talk about this anymore, do you?
No.
You don't want me to touch on your annus horribilis anymore?
No.
So let me get that right. You don't want me to explore your annus horribilis anymore. This is the end of it, yes?
Yes.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1, they were second best off of X Factor a few years ago, and they are the first of today's legends. It's JLS, everyone. Hi, lads.
Hey!
It's Mr. Mills.
Yeah.
What's good?
You right?
Yeah.
Very well, mate.
It's been a minute.
Now, one of my first questions, why have I seen pictures of you making up bouquets at the Chelsea Flower Show?
Because it's our new hobby, Scott.
Yeah, this is what we do now, Scott.
That's what we do.
Forget the clubs.
Exactly.
You know,
what's happened since the last time I saw you?
There's
a picture of Marvin, like, doing a nice bouquet. I'm like, what?
Scott,
what's that?
We're getting in touch with our, you know, horticultural side. We're just, you know, going around, hanging out at flower shows. This is the new thing for boy bands.
Yeah,
you know?
Scott, you need to join us.
No, you look JLS.
I'm all right, thanks.
Are you sure?
Now, did you not see that on your schedule and think, what?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Right. It's another first for us, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Certainly is. You never thought you'd be at the Chelsea Flower Show doing a bouquet?
No.
But whose was the best?
Probably Marvin's.
Yeah. Marvin's did look good.
To be fair, yeah.
But it hasn't been officially adjudicated yet. It doesn't get officially adjudicated till Friday, so we'll wait and see.
Now, we got this new film coming out. Well, you have. I just made myself a member of JLS.
That's quite, quite naturally.
We've
quite
got
naturally.
This new film, and it's in 3D.
Yes, it is.
And it's called Eyes Wide Open.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to watch yourself, like, in 3D?
It's pretty insane. You know what? First of all, making a movie is an absolutely incredible thing, and then to make a 3D movie is that much more incredible, you know?
Mm.
For us, it was. It's literally based on the tour that we've just done, with documentary footage way before even the X Factor, this early JLS documentary footage up until everything now. It's what we do before we go on stage. It's what we do after we go on stage. It's what we do on our days off. It's what we do while we're on tour. It's you get to see absolutely everything. You know, we are totally exposed.
Scott, everything.
You know what, I think?
What there must be stuff that we don't get to see apart from the obvious, like, you know, in the loo, etc.
There's one or two bits.
Yeah.
Is there stuff that wasn't suitable for the film that was cut out, maybe?
Well, you know, we had to fit it.
Just a couple.
Just a couple.
Not many.
But it's a family film.
So we don't see you try to pull girls.
Well,
actually,
you know what? To be fair,
there are some nightclub scenes in there.
Yeah, to be fair.
Obviously, you know, two of us are single, so.
I'm interested how you do that. Do you ever work as a group? on that?
On what? Well, like wingmen.
What, your wingmen?
Yeah.
Of course.
Definitely.
All the time, Scott. All the time.
So how does it, like, talk me through, like, if there was going to be a JLS pulling session.
A perfect situation. Exactly.
What would happen?
Basically, a perfect situation would be, as JB and Marvin aren't the single ones, they're the wingmen. They have to be down. They have to be on point. For instance, say, I don't know, we could be, we could have been, you know, in Miami recently, for instance, and, you know, there was a lovely girl, she was across the way, and I've been like, Jay, Marv, just quickly go over, just, you know, speak her up, say hello, what's going on, or introduce yourself, and then just bring her over, just casually, like, obviously, you know, you want to meet your friend. And, you know, that kind of situation can sometimes occur, you know, if someone films a video in Miami recently, that kind of scenario could have occurred.
Exactly. Scott, you come up with us next week.
Wow.
And you can be the official.
You can see it firsthand.
Absolutely. Or you can be the official wingman for JLS.
Perfect.
Okay. International wingman.
And I'll give you a medal and a trophy for that.
Yeah, but if, your
you,
game
if
has
we
to
actually
be
succeed. That's
Becky,
guaranteed.
Becky just sat in the corner laughing.
I would love to see that. Are you sure you want to do this?
Or maybe we can try on you, darling.
What, me as a wingman?
What's
that's a unique approach.
It certainly is. It might work.
Wingwoman.
Just throwing it out there, babe.
Aren't you going on a lad's holiday soon?
Yes, we are indeed.
We are, yes.
Right. Who's going?
A few of our mates. Ollie Mers. Yeah. Craig. Craig David.
Why do you want to know, Scott?
I just think it's funny.
You're official wingman by then. Surely you have to go too.
Well, this
exactly. Scott, booking your flight today, mate.
Right, okay. So where are we going?
We're going abroad.
Somewhere in Asia. That's all we can say.
Okay. So have you been on holiday before together?
I mean, you know, Scott, we go to LA, Miami, we know all these places to shoot videos and write and all
but
of that.
But not a holiday.
Well, it's kind of like a holiday, but this is a proper JLS.
You know what's funny, right? When we was in LA recently, and this, I was absolutely fuming. Literally, these three got called into the studio, and they was like, Aston, you're done, you're fine. I was like, it's the hottest day so far in LA, I've got nothing to do. The pool was absolutely packed. I was like, perfect. I was like, boys, I'll see you later. I've done for the day, it's all good. At 6 o'clock in the evening, I had a couple of mojitos. I was just chilling. It was great, having a good day.
Yeah.
Marvin and Arisha called me and go, Ass, you've got to come in and do this one bit. I was like, are you joking me? All day, you had me come in, and it was getting proper lively at 6. I was like, wow. Okay, cool. All right, this is how it goes.
And the worst thing was it was for like one word.
It was one word. It was one word.
What was the word?
I think, what was it? It was literally like, oh.
It was
like an ad-lib word, and I was like, wow.
So you're like, oh.
But it was a good 20-minute journey as well.
So we can hear you after a couple of mojitos on the new album going...
Exactly.
Now, my mate Chris here is an expert on Lads Holidays. Have you ever got shirts made? Like with names on the back?
Lads on Tour and all that.
Lads on Tour. Lads on Tour.
Okay. Did you do the nicknames or was it just Lads on Tour?
Yeah, nicknames. Yeah.
What are your nicknames?
JB's Secret Squirrel.
Why?
Because he's a secret squirrel.
Right.
You don't ever see anything about JB.
He looks a little bit like a squirrel and he's a secret guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's more secret than the rest. Yeah. What are the other ones, please?
Reesh. Obviously, you've got Reesh.
Yeah.
Hancock.
Shakespeare's Eyes, Hancock.
He's got quite a few.
He's got Glitzy Orisi.
He's got about 5 t-shirts.
Orisha Sheesh.
Ortege.
Ortege.
He's got loads.
Horatio.
I'm actually about to walk out the studio here.
Any more? Pretty more.
Marvel. You got Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel, obviously.
And what's yours?
Mine, I just Aston straight away.
Right, you can't Aston.
Scrappy Doo.
Smurf,
and
Anton.
Is the Goonies as well.
Scrappy Doo.
Anton, Ashton.
Ashton.
Smurf.
Ash.
Scrappy, yes.
Wow, so you definitely have done the nicknames before, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever pulled Moonies at each other?
No.
Pulled Moonies?
Yeah.
Asked them once in LA when we did a photo shoot. And the photo actually existed.
Did it go to print?
Yeah. Yeah, it's in one of our books, a special edition. Aston did a Moonie.
Okay.
I just called him Ashton.
You actually did? What's going on? You just called me Ashton.
I can't understand why people do it. They kind of just slips off the tongue. They're like Ashton.
Right, cool. Okay, we're going to have words.
Ever gone on a banana boat together?
No, we haven't. But this holiday, we need to
You need
that.
To do that. Also, as lads... Here's the thing that happened to me the other day, and I laughed out loud. Is there anything funnier at any age than when you squeeze a squeezy ketchup bottle and it lets out a little fart?
Oh, that is quite funny.
That is good.
To be fair, that is funny.
That's funny.
Cool. I think a whoopee cushion is funny.
Or going to Cockfosters on the tube.
Yes.
Oh. Wow.
I tried not to laugh, but I did actually just laugh.
That was funny. That was funny.
We are going to play your new song now.
Yes.
Excellent.
Tell me about it, please.
Oh, it's the first single, should we say, of this album campaign.
Yeah.
It's called She Makes Me Wanna, featuring the lovely, gorgeous Dev, who was recently on, well, we probably know her from the G6 record. Yeah, it's just a fun, loving, upbeat, lively track from all four of us, just giving it our all.
Is your album all done now?
Nearly.
You've just got a few more O's.
Yeah, exactly. we actually haven't recorded yet. We've finished the writing process.
Right.
But yeah, we're going to get back in the studio, we're going to do all the recording, and then we're going to choose all the songs.
Radio 1 podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
She Makes Me Wanna by JLS on Radio 1.
Yes!
How's that feel?
Amazing.
Lovely.
Finally.
It was lovely.
Felt summery.
Yeah, it does feel summery.
Yeah.
But that thing about being from LA to Africa, haven't you nicked that off Jennifer Lopez? Or did she have it first or you?
No, because we've actually been to both LA and Africa.
So has she.
But we hadn't heard, when we wrote that track, we hadn't heard that track. So yeah. It's just purely, it's the same producer.
Maybe she ripped you off.
Oh,
is it?
It's a bit of a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Red One produced both
of
the tracks.
I see, that'll be why. Yeah. Now, we've got a bit of an idea here. We call it on the show a lot an experiment, and that generally means that we don't know whether it's going to work or not. So stick with us. What we're going to do is we're going to write a new song now together.
Great.
If that's all right. Now, if we've got some bits of paper, what we're going to do is write a letter, all of us, between A and G. Just on a little post-it, all right?
Any letter.
One letter, yeah?
Yeah, between A and G.
Cool.
So what we're going to do is put them in a random order, and that will be the chord progression of the song.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. We're doing chord progression.
Oh, yeah.
Don't make it too high.
Do we just write one letter each?
Yeah, just one each. We're all going
to
do this.
What's the best one to go for in music?
I don't know. Well, they'll probably know more than us.
A's highest, isn't
A's
it?
A's first, isn't
no,
it?
No, that's a good grade, so...
So, just...
I'll go A.
Okay.
Do you want B?
Yeah, I'll have B. Yeah. Now, what we're going to do is write a line of a song lyric on a piece of paper. This can be an original song lyric. It can be one that already exists. But don't show anyone else your line. Just one line of a song, JLS, please.
And no one can look.
No one can look at your line.
Just do like ooh or ah or something.
Yeah, it can be anything.
Just put like drunken ooh.
I've gone soppy and gone for a little love lyric.
Okay, don't say what it is.
As well.
Nice I've gone that. Sexy and dating and lads holiday kind of thing.
She would do that.
Do you know what I mean? That kind of.
It's a reassuring level.
That kind of dating stuff. And lads holiday go together? I just thought they should stay separate.
that's a fair point. That's really true. That's true.
To be fair, you're right.
Everyone got their song line?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Really hard to say.
Now. These are going to be the lyrics to our new song. So cool. The one that doesn't speak is going to collect these up now, jumble them up.
This is normally how you do it in the studio.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is exactly the way we do it.
We
always.
Could be writing our next single right here.
Right
possibly.
Now. Right here.
This
right
could
now.
Be the biggest single of our careers.
This could be it, boys. This is the career-defining moment.
I'm quite interested to know what people's lyrics are.
I got the worst line, I think, ever. I mean, this is like...
good. I like this.
That's my favourite.
Really?
Yeah. What have you done?
I think it's awful. He's got Take Your Sexy Time.
Red One, eat your heart out. Yeah. I mean, this is like...
How do you warm up if you're JLS? What do you do?
Macaroni ravioli. Macaroni ravioli. Macaroni ravioli. Macaroni ravioli. Macaroni ravioli. Macaroni ravioli.
You know when you wish you hadn't asked something?
Macaroni ravioli.
And cut! Thank you, that's the warm up. Okay, here we go. So here it is, the world premiere of the brand new song by JLS, What We Have Just Written. Here we go. JLS.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
The air I breathe, from the breaths you take, the way you caress my hair whilst you kiss my lips. You make me feel brand new, yeah. You make me feel brand new. I think our eyes are hypnotizing.
Say, girl, something from your lips is like a gift from heaven. Ooh, ah, just a little bit. Say, ooh, ah, just a little bit.
Take your time. Say, take your time. Take your sexy time.
I think it's quite nice. Becky's favourite lyric.
That's the line I got.
Take your time, take your sexy time.
Yeah. That's Chris Brown, that. As always, JLS, it's been an absolute pleasure. When can people see the film?
June the 3rd, they can see it. Basically, it's just going to be for one day only. It's like a big, concert event, basically. It's just for one day only.
Wow. JLS, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Scott. Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Podcast. And it's Legends Week. This is Jason Byrne. Hello.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Am I in that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Did no one tell you it was Legends Week?
No, I didn't know I was one.
No, but you are.
That's great.
Partly because you were on Loose Women earlier.
Oh, yeah. Well, wow, that was just fantastic.
I only saw it on the TV as I walked past a pub, so I was like, oh, that's Jason Byrne. but I didn't actually hear any of it. How was it?
It was really good, yeah. I just went for the... because there is lots of old ladies in the audience, because I never even knew there was an audience, but there is, and I went for the...
Clapping gives it away, I think.
The clapping... Well,
no, you can't always tell.
Can you not?
No, some shows have clapping and no audience.
Do they?
Yeah, you know, like... I can't think of any off the top of my head.
That lottery one.
Yeah.
Which one has clapping and has nobody there?
Is it the lottery?
The lottery on the BBC lottery?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What, you actually thought they shipped people in to watch clap, the balls go round?
Clap numbers. Can you imagine ringing up somebody going, are you free to come in and clap a couple of numbers?
Can you just come and clap the bonus ball?
Oh, yeah! Can you imagine that? Imagine
going That's for, a special kind of clap, that
certainly
one.
Is.
Imagine going for dinner later on. That conversation would be great. They go, did you see... number 14, wasn't it? A brilliant ball. It came out. It was so great. And it was such an odd angle that it landed at. I'm sure he thought it was 41.
So were the loose women nice or did they...
They were loose. It was fine.
They didn't slag you off because you're a man?
No, but Janet Street Porter did say beforehand that she was working on the newspapers that she had to work with loads of men, which was like working with loads of fat, lazy putty.
Oh.
So I thought, oh, I'm dead.
Yeah.
They obviously hate men here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just got to put your... You can leave your testosterone. What the hell word is that?
Testosterone?
Testosterone. See? I can't even say it now.
Yeah.
And you'd leave that to the side and you go on and then it's fine. But there was lots of old ladies and I always play the Irish accent trick.
Yeah.
And it is kind of always need cheeky. Look at him. Oh, yeah. He's nice and brilliant. And then you talk about women's stuff, you know? And like, and actually last night I was doing a show, the gala thing at the O2, and I was telling Sean Locke I was going to be on. And Sean goes, oh, just do what I did and it'd be great. I says, what? I just went on, I just told him I lost 8 stone.
I love the weight loss ones.
And they love it. Seriously. If you don't know what to say and lose women, just go, I have lost eight stone. I mean, it just flew off me. And then he was go, how? Tell us how? How? Or bring on loose trousers or bring on a picture of you in loose trousers. They don't even have to be your trousers.
Yeah.
Get a picture of you in loose trousers with somebody else.
I do like the audiences for TV shows because I used to work at the Television Centre quite a bit and on a Wednesday they would actually bus a whole load of people in from the old folks home to watch. I think it might have been Titchmarsh or something.
Oh yeah, I did Countdown and that was in remember they recorded in Yorkshire and that was the same thing. We did 5 episodes in one day and Richard Whiteley just thought it'd be a good idea to get me in because I was funny and it didn't really work because they only wanted to hear jokes and I was just sitting there going, oh dear, trying to tell them stories. And at one stage, because I had a word that was kind of told to me because I was rubbish at playing it, and they went, it's all right, we'll just tell you a few words. And I said, I can't even remember the word, I might have to Google it. But anyway, I said the word, and it was amazing. And because Richard went, oh, brilliant, Jason, what does that mean? I went, I didn't know the meaning of the word. And all the old people went, scam! You shouldn't be here. You should know words. But I was, yeah, I was playing. So when people, when the contestants got words, when they won, I was giving them biscuits. Like, none of this ever happens in Countdown. And these are very ordinary people that live inside cheese and they're never out.
Right.
And nobody ever sees them and they don't like to breathe the same air as other people.
Yeah.
And I gave them biscuits and they were terrified. They just didn't know why a mad Irishman was giving them biscuits when they got words right.
They give you free coffee and biscuits at the right stuff and therefore you have pretty much the same sort of, well, actually the same people every day that just come in because they get coffee and biscuits.
Yeah, that's, I've
done somewhere warm.
But that's the only reason I give blood.
Is it
for biscuits? The snacks are amazing because they can't let you go until you've had a snack. So you get like nice bourbons and a few bags of crisps
same
and loads
right
of
stuff.
Nice squash.
Oh, is this to replace the sugar that's just been lost?
Yeah.
So how much blood would you have to give for like a packet of crisps?
A pint.
A pint?
It's brilliant.
A pint
you
for one
packet?
You can
get a day's worth of snacks out of that.
Could you imagine
Becky's
just leaving?
All snacks.
Just literally.
And it makes you feel like a hero. So you get food and glory.
And brilliance.
Yeah.
But what if you left with like almost like a shriveled body with loads of blood missing? Would you leave with cases of crisps and Coke and then sell them
you
to children's parties?
You just have to stay there eating until you feel better. So if you go, oh no, I still feel
I don't feel well. Imagine them, there's somebody there with a key trying to lock up.
Yeah, I'm still there with the rich tea.
Yeah, and you go, come on, there's more blood in me.
Take it.
There's some in me toe. I've seen it.
With the Comedy Gala yesterday, that went well?
Yeah, that was
a bit scary, the O2, right?
Yeah, it was very much a scary moment because I'm always doing stuff, but I know what I'm going to be doing, you know, kind of, and then I arrive in and I go, oh, it's the O2. Oh, right, it's in the main room. Oh, God, there's 15,000. Oh, really? All right.
Okay.
And then we got, and there was, all the comedians were quite nervous because it was, because we all had to do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is basically impossible for all of us.
That's
because
hard,
we all do like hour and 2 hour shows.
Yeah.
But but my highlight of the evening was when Lee Evans, I came off stage and I hadn't met Lee. I only ever seen him in 1996, last time I seen him live in Edinburgh. And Lee came in the corridor and I went to go, Lee Evans. And I went, Lee Evans. And he went, Jason Byrne. I went, what? And he goes, we watch all your stuff at home. Me and the kids. Oh. I went, oh my God. So that was just brilliant.
That's nice.
So it was great to meet him. And then, so it was like, and Jonathan Ross had to bring me on. And I went, oh God, I hope this thing doesn't happen that happened the last time, Jonathan, when you brought me on stage. And he went, what was that? And that was when I did the Royal Variety Show about 7 years ago. And I didn't really do very well.
Oh.
And because I was on after Meatloaf. And it's not funny, right? It was a nerve-wracking time, right? Basically, Meatloaf was singing Bat Out of Hell on his motorbike with backing singers and scaffolding. And he ended on and fireworks, right?
Oh.
And the whole place was freaking out and clapping, and the curtain closed. And I was walking on to his claps as the guy went, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Byrne, right? And you could see people ruffling through their programs, didn't know who I was. And they're going, what is this guy? Is he a magician? What's he do? But the worst thing was that Take That were behind me, waiting to come on and do their first public appearance since they reformed.
Yeah.
And so people were going, we've just had Meatloaf, right? And they know Take That's coming on next. And they're looking at me going, will you get out of the way? What
just
are you
get
doing?
Off now.
And all I could hear clearly in the royal box was some mad uncle of Prince Charles, which, you know, they have lots of relatives that you never really hear about.
Yeah.
But apparently it was some mad uncle just going, ha ha! Ha ha ha! At me! It was just the most bizarre, surreal thing ever. And then, then it went on and, Take That, blew the room apart and I was totally forgotten. But, and then me and Lee Mack just got really drunk and wandered around the backstage and told Noel Edmonds he owed me an Evel Knievel.
Good.
From Swap Shop.
A normal evening.
Yeah.
Claire's been on. Her and her husband were at the Comedy Gala last night and you made her laugh so much she nearly weed.
Oh my God, why do people always tell you that?
I don't know.
You know,
did they really nearly wee?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a nice, no, it's not a nice expression, but it's an expression that people give. It's like when I play songs sometimes on a Friday on this thing called The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna wee in a minute. Well, you're not actually, are you?
No, people can, sphincter muscles are there.
Yeah.
They're not gonna wee
just because of a song.
No, and now I will admit though that two waters have broken twice at two of my gigs.
Oh, that's quite impressive.
Yeah, but that's not wee, and that's flushing.
Yeah, that is.
Like a woman stood up, and I was in Sydney, and I did the "Where are you going?" Like, you know, in that tone, and she went, "I think I'm having a baby." I went, "What?" She went, "My waters have broke, right?" And she ran out. And this is totally true. Her partner was sitting at the table. He stayed sitting.
All right.
And I went, I think your wife's having a baby. And it just didn't clock with him. And he went, what? I thought you were, what? And then he just got up and ran out after her. So, yeah, I've had that. But thanks, Claire, for the weeing thing. That's good.
With the Australia thing, you've been there quite recently.
Yeah, I've just done 3 months. I'm only back 2 weeks, I think.
I saw one review saying, never sit in the two front rows of one of this guy's gigs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because you'd be used.
Yeah.
You could get used.
How did they find you in Australia?
Yeah, that was fine. I've got a lovely big fan base. They understand what they have to do.
What do you think of it there?
I love it there, yeah. It's too nice.
Yeah.
And when you spend 3 months there, you forget the rest of the world and you then forget that we live kind of in this climate and that we also work and the Aussies try not to.
Uh-huh.
And they basically, it's all beach and it's all walking.
It's very healthy, isn't it?
Running. Why would you walk? There is a thing in Melbourne called the Tan, which is a big track that they all come out of their offices and they all run around for their lunch break.
Yeah. Everyone looks like they're in those holiday adverts.
Yeah.
Where they're like a good-looking family, like playing beach volleyball together and
that's
smiling
everywhere.
And happy.
Yeah. And then my last bit was in Bondi Beach, which was hilarious. You're not allowed on that beach unless you actually get weighed before you go on the beach. And you have to, you know, they have to check your pecs and your stomach muscles before you're allowed on. But I actually did say this before, where I was sunbathing and for an Irishman with very white skin and the sand is white. And a bloke stood on me. he just thought it was a pair of shorts. But it is a wonderful country. But,
it is.
But, you know, they know that.
Right, yeah. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
Right.
Yes, I'm very good, thanks.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Bristol. I'm in my bedroom.
Okay. Tell me what you just said in your text.
I once made someone wet themselves with laughter.
It does happen.
Whoa. How did you do that, Alice?
Unfortunately, I really can't remember. It was quite a long time ago. But
were they a baby?
No, they weren't. This is about when I was about 12.
And they actually peed?
They actually did, yeah.
Right.
We were walking along a road.
And you witnessed this for yourself?
Yeah, she was standing right next to me.
Wow, it does happen. You're obviously hilarious.
Was this definitely laughter that was that she did? Like, were you just were you just walk along the road and she just weed, or were you actually did you actually say something funny?
Cause no, I was just kind of making her laugh all along the road, and then she said, "Alice, stop! I'm going to wet myself."
Oh my God.
And I was like, "Ha! No, you're not gonna." I carried on and said, "Alice, I just wet myself," and I thought she kind of went, meep, you know, and you kind of go,
no, but yeah.
So and then I looked down and then. It was,
yeah.
And were you far from home?
No, that's the good thing. We were, like, nearly just round the corner, so we just...
Well, what did she say to her parents? Did she just run in and change and say nothing?
No, she was going to my house anyway, so I gave her some clothes.
Brilliant.
I can't remember what she said to her parents, but, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, you're proof that it does actually happen. Love you, Alice!
I'm laughing. Okay, love you.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
So it's Legends Week this week. How does it feel to be called a legend? Do you think you technically have to be dead to be called a legend?
I first was called a legend in Edinburgh on stage and I didn't know I was... I thought, oh God, I'm old. That's what happens. I think legends are old, are they?
Well, others this week, others in Legends Week that we've had so far. David Hasselhoff.
Oh, well, yeah. But he's a proper legend.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And JLS.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, they're very good, but they're not very young.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Legends.
Combined age puts them in the legends category.
That's what we're thinking.
Because there's, like 100 or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is their legends.
Mm. Now, Claire in Lincoln's been on, and she is coming to see you in November. And
Where will I be?
Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that. And
God, the clue was in the... rubbish at quizzes.
And her seats are smack bang in the middle of the front row.
Okay.
Will she be safe?
No.
Okay.
No, but then again, I do work from left to right and miss the middle sometimes.
Right.
So I could actually just glaze over.
So how far back until you're safe from you?
Well, at 1 year I did have giant rubber hands on the end of giant arms that reached 10 rows in. So people were getting rubbed from the distance. It depends. Well, if you come in late, or even from the back, I have often gone down into the audience and brought people up to apologise and find out why they were late.
Let's. I mean, if people haven't seen you before, talk through what you do with these people once they're on stage.
Well, I did. In Melbourne, one guy was late, and so we're in a theatre, and this was just the most weirdest thing ever. He came in late, and with three other people, they sat down, and I went to him. I just got him, and I said, "Hey, you come up here." And he kind of backed away to, you know, like we kind of to look and go, "Oh no, what'll I do?" And he backed into the wall. It was an old theatre, and there was a secret door. He disappeared into the wall.
Brilliant.
It was excellent. And the door closed over and it went, "He's gone." So I got to get off the stage and go down the back way and bring him back up onto the stage. It was just the most bizarre thing ever. Yeah, so, and we've had, because I have had like a rope skipping routine.
Yes.
That's what I've done at the start of the show. And if any latecomers come in, I make them get up and do the whole skipping routine again. And actually, my record was in Leicester Square Comedy Theatre, where we actually started the show 5 times. Yeah, which was great. And in Leicester Square we had roughly about 20 people that came in, some sort of office. They came in and they came into their row of seats, and I made them go all the way back, all the way through the row of seats, back up on the stage, and 20 of them had to stay on stage and apologise.
Yes,
that is awful.
They're not apologising to me, just to the people that can be bothered to turn up on
they'll TV. Never forget that.
No, they'll never forget it.
No,
probably in a bad way.
I'll tell you what I particularly enjoyed was your tweets when the Eurovision final was on TV.
Oh, yeah. Did you read
that? You wanted Moldova to win.
Yes,
that
yes.
That was brilliant.
Well, I wanted Moldova to win because of their funny hats. Definitely. Yeah. Do you remember their funny hats?
They had the cone hats.
Yeah, and my son also had Moldova in school, and if they won, he was going to get off homework for a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, my God. But I thought they might have won with their funny hats, you know. And then, of course, poor LG Edward didn't win either. But it's all politics, isn't it?
Well, do you think there's any point in us doing it anymore?
No.
You don't.
We're never going to win it, not unless just Britain and Ireland just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and we can just do that together. But it was very entertaining.
Yeah, because I did some of the semi-final stuff on BBC Three, and I'm hoping to work on it next year. So come to Azerbaijan if you fancy it.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I could
wherever
definitely.
That is.
I would definitely do. Yeah, where is it?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up, and then we'll...
Aruzaman, or Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Do you reckon they can afford it?
No.
No, I don't know.
Not at all.
We didn't want it. Ireland were praying, please, Jeannie Mac, we don't want this. Do you know what I mean? It's going to stay away. And then the Queen comes, and they're going, what? Oh, no. It's going to cost a fortune. I hope nobody else arrives. Oh, look, it's Obama.
I know.
Brilliant.
Did you see that Jedward met Obama?
Yeah. And they said that he really liked her hair.
They did. And they also talked about Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus with him.
I know, it was just the most bizarre thing. But the thing was that, the funny thing when Obama did his speech, Enda Kenny, who's our Taoiseach, our Prime Minister, the head of the country, he was doing his rebel-rousing speech, okay? But he said, and Barack Obama, and out came Barack Obama and Michelle too early.
Oh.
Right, in the middle of a speech, and you'll watch, if you can look it back, they're just standing behind Enda Kenny as he's doing a rebel-rousing speech, and you can see Barack going into Michelle's ear going, "We're at the coming out too early." You can see him. He can see him going early. And she's going, and then she puts her head in her hands going, "Oh no," because Enda Kenny is still ranting and doing this speech about Ireland and isn't it fantastic, and about a man who's not supposed to be standing behind him. And then it was supposed to be, the end of the speech was Barack Obama was the end of it. Please
and
welcome.
Cue him.
Yeah. And it was just, and please welcome them. Because Enda Kenny got flustered and he had to keep pointing at Barack behind him.
Oh, God.
As if to go, "I know he's here. We're talking about this man behind me, and here he is. Oh, damn!" And oh, God, I'm so hopeless. I run the country.
I hope that's on YouTube.
Yeah, it will be. Have a look.
Also, have you seen that awesome clip of Obama's car hitting that bump in the road?
Yeah. Well, no, that is him coming out of the American embassy, which is on a hill.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was, and they're trying to get out, but his the beast. The beast. Ireland couldn't take it. We couldn't take the weight of the beast. The beast couldn't take. But Matt, can I just say so? Oh, yeah. Well, I did see him today. Hello.
You saw him?
Yeah. I was in a car and I was being driven to Loose Women.
Yeah.
And
was he on the way there too?
Yes. No. Wouldn't they be brilliant?
Wouldn't that be brilliant?
Yes, you can be loose.
Yeah.
on the way, and I'm looking out my window, and I said to the guy who's driving us, I said, God, I wonder where Barack is today. And as I said that, no messing, the entourage started to come along, and he slowly drove by my window, and there was his lovely special head. And I went, there he is. I kind of waved.
Could you see him? Because they have blacked out windows, don't they?
No, but I could see him. No, they're only slightly tinted. You could clearly see him.
Wow. And was he in the Beast?
He was in the Beast, and the thickness of it.
Is it?
It is so thick. Yeah. It's like it's an extra four cars. It's like, you know when you put on extra jumpers in the winter?
Yeah.
That's what the car looks like. You're kind of going, you're looking a little bit hot. You should take a layer off there, Beast. Apparently his blood is in the boot.
Yes.
And him and Michelle's blood is in the boot in case anything happens to him.
Yeah, well, their blood... Is it his actual blood or his blood type?
Oh, maybe that's the stuff I gave to get the free biscuits.
Probably.
There is biscuits and crisps in the boot.
Yes.
just in case somebody wants to give Obama blood. He goes, yes, you can.
Have
give
some rich teas.
Yeah, lovely. You relax there. Put your feet up in the Beast.
Jason, it's been a pleasure to see you today.
Thanks
as
for having
part
us.
Of Legends Week on Radio 1.
And can I say, Scott, just quickly, it's nice to be in the studio, like, because the last time I seen you was in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh,
we were in an attic and we were all sweating like weirdos.
It was a really
it was
hot day.
So hot. Yeah.
So here we are. A nice airy studio, so nice to see you back here.
Really good to see you. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Okay, now it's time for the Jeremy Carr game with a twist. Now, if you're without health or without a job, Jeremy Carr is a comfort for millions every single day of the week as you sit there lazily on the sofa, staring in disbelief at these people who have agreed to go on television to speak to Jezza. So a bit of a difference in the game today, and we welcome Radio 1 and TV's Matt Edmondson.
Hello, TV.
Hello.
And Radio 1, Scott Mills, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for coming along to play the game.
No worries at all.
Becky's here, obviously.
Hello.
Hello. So normally what we do on the game is we guess the results of the DNA or the lie detector test.
Oh, okay.
Today it's a simple missing words game. Do play along at home. 10 Scott Mills points if you can guess what they said next. So you hear a trombone noise. Tell me what word goes where the trombone is. Okay? Ready to play?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I'm going to have a lie down because I'm suffering from stress.
Okay.
So. The way that makes me laugh every time.
Do another one.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, little boy. Get it?
Jezza at his best. You watch Jeremy Carr often.
I'm more of a right stuff man, if I'm honest, Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Nana Hall's covering for him for a
while. I know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very good, that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and I like how bitter Matthew Wright is about Jeremy Carr. Like, every day he gets a little diss in there.
Yeah, I did that show, and every show he's on about Jeremy Carr.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And how lowbrow it is.
It was right stuff is, I find, sometimes too intellectually challenging.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
as a turn, it was like BBC Four.
When they asked me on the Afghanistan special, I'll admit, I felt out of my depth.
Yes.
Right, okay, good. So here's the first one on the Jeremy Carr game. Just guess the missing word.
Sometimes I sit here and I think I'm going to have a...
There you can hear it again.
Sometimes I sit here and I think I'm going to have a...
What could it be, Matt?
Now, that definitely... that you've added that sound effect. That definitely wasn't live in
that
the
That wasn't
room.
Live, okay. No, that's the trombone afterwards.
What could it be? Sometimes I sit here and I think I'm going to have a heart attack. That's the sort of thing someone might say. He's been so shocked by the news.
Yep.
I can't believe you're the dad.
Yeah.
The arteries are pumping.
Yes.
He's got the adrenaline pump coursing through his veins.
Yeah, suddenly there's a tingling in his arm.
Yeah. He's seen the adverts. He knows what to do. Dial 999.
Becky.
A cake.
I'm sorry.
What? Let me hear that again.
Sometimes I sit here and I think I'm going to have a...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, just before the lie detector test, I need to get my sugar levels up. Okay, so Matt is saying heart attack. Becky is saying cake. Let's find out.
Sometimes I sit here and I think I'm going to have a breakdown.
Oh,
of course.
Ruffle.
I'm going to have a lie down because I'm suffering from stress.
Okay, here's your next one. What's the missing word here on Jeremy Kyle?
Oh, do you know what? It's Thursday. I think I've split up. I'm going to go to a woman's house. Where did you find her?
Where did
this
you find
is hard.
Her?
Newcastle.
I'm finding it hard to channel Jezza.
I love it that loads of people have seen that last episode and people are texting going,
they know.
Breakdown, Joe. Breakdown.
I think... where did you find her?
Let's hear it again.
Oh, do you know what? It's Thursday. I think I've split up. I'm going to go to a woman's house. Where did you find her?
The queue at Thorpe Park.
Are you going for that? Are you sticking with
I'm
Newcastle?
I'm sticking with that, yeah.
Thorpe Park.
Thorpe Park.
Okay, Matt's saying queue at Thorpe Park.
Down the bingo.
Down the bingo. Let's find out what the missing word was.
Oh, do you know what? It's Thursday. I think I've split up. I'm going to go to a woman's house. Where did you find her?
It was on our website.
On a website? Come to my house if you've had an argument.com.
Oh, on a website.
Hang on, let me just register that domain name right now. Come to my... Oh, it just redirects to Jeremy Kyle. He's very savvy.
Yeah, he is. He's already done it. OK, next one.
Did I not try and explain to you that those kids are more important?
I'm standing in a what?
Television studio with my name above the door. It's my stage. Or some other thing that he always...
OK. Get off my stage!
Paddling pool? Sorry about my trunks.
Let's hear it again.
Did I not try and explain to you that those kids are more important? I am standing in a...
It's okay, Jeremy. They're quite fitted. They look lovely.
Got such a bad picture
really
in my head
bad.
Now. That's Ming.
You can imagine they'd be
What colour are they in your head, Becky?
Yellow.
Yellow? Oh dear, almost gross. Flesh tone.
Yeah, and quite snug.
Yeah, very snug, yeah. You don't know where the thigh stops and the hands start.
You don't
know
where to look. Scott Budgie something?
Budgie smugglers, yes, that's right. Awareness would be on. Okay, so Matt, you're saying...
I'm saying paddling pool.
Becky,
sorry about the trunks.
You're saying...
In a studio with my name on the door.
Let's find out.
Did I not try and explain to you that those kids are more important? I am standing in a ladies' toilet. I'm supposed to be in a television show, right?
Of course, it was ladies' toilet. How did you not get
that?
Oh,
it was so obvious when you hear it afterwards, isn't it?
It is.
How did you get
Okay, one more on the Jeremy Carr game with a difference. What's the missing word here?
Let's just do it properly. You've got to start behaving reasonably. You're a mother, right? And I've just...
Becky first.
I've just... done a DNA. I've just... No, it's
I've done a DNA.
I've
just... I don't know. Look like an idiot on stage.
Can you hear it again?
Let's just do it properly. You've got to start behaving reasonably. You're a mother, right? And I've just...
walked into the girls' loo by mistake.
OK, Matt.
Had a moment of horrifying self-realisation, and I think I'm going to quit my job.
Let's find out.
Let's just do it properly. You've got to start behaving reasonably. You're a mother, right? And I've just headbutted a door.
Of course. If you said, I've just headbutted a door, give yourself 10 Scott Mills points.
What a strong argument that is. You're a mother and I've just headbutted a door.
Thank you very much, Matt Edmondson.
No worries.
Thank you, Becky.
You.
That was the Jeremy Carr game.
That's enriched my life.
Thank you.
Radio 1 Podcast.
That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.